As patriots, it's our duty to rise up in a world full of darkness. Evil comes in many forms, and it lurks around unexpected corners. It's time to stop wondering what will happen if it comes to war. War is already here. It's time to rise. Rise up for truth. Rise up for freedom. Rise up for our rights as American citizens. And now, at the head of the militia, here's your host, Mickey Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your fearless leader, Mickey Garris, and it is good to be here with you on this Saturday afternoon, February 13th. Man, the year is already flying by. I was keeping my fingers crossed, hoping that rolling into 2021, things were going to be looking up. But we know with the inauguration and the swearing in of the Biden administration that that probably wasn't going to happen. And as we've talked about the last few weeks, he is racing to be the first to destroy this country and working hard to try to do it within a matter of weeks with all his executive orders that he's been signing and the various actions that him and his administration have taken to essentially erase President Donald Trump's legacy and everything that he did for this country, everything that he did for the world and freedom and the citizens. And it's pretty amazing. What I find really amazing, though, is all the Biden supporters that have been touting their horns for the last year and, you know, were telling us how awful Donald Trump is and how vile Donald Trump is and how he's a dictator. All those people seem to be gone. You know, at least on social media, they're just silent. You're not hearing a peep. In fact, from some of my friends and, you know, that are on the inside that, you know, have some ties with some of these lefties, amongst themselves, they're scared. They're talking to each other and they're saying, what the heck did we do? They realize that Donald Trump was not their problem. They realized that Donald Trump was not a dictator, but in fact, the administration that they just elected is acting just like a dictator and obviously pushing us quickly towards socialism, even communism. And some of these Democrats are starting to wake up and they have remorse for casting their ballot the way they did. They have remorse for the way they were talking about President Donald Trump and the things that they were saying. And they realized that what he did in his 4 years as our president was good for them. And it was good for this country. And once you got past the hate and the vile rhetoric that was spewed by the left and the fake news, if you could have an honest look at it and an honest conversation about it, you would realize that President Trump was phenomenal for protecting our values, protecting our borders, lowering our taxes, putting more money into your pocket, creating jobs, bringing people out of poverty. He didn't discriminate. He wasn't a racist. He did more to help the minority community than any president ever has, possibly. And he was really, really working hard to make America great again. The things he did in such a short time, despite all the attacks he had to deal with, it really, really was making things better in this country. And I think a lot of Democrats are waking up. And that's one of the reasons why I think the power players, the career politicians, the corrupt swamp is working so hard on this impeachment trial and doing everything they can as fast as they can. I mean, Nancy Pelosi and the Congress, they didn't even follow the rules. They didn't do a proper investigation. They didn't hold hearings. They didn't call witnesses. They filed one article as fast as they could, regardless of the facts, regardless of presenting any evidence. And it just shows to me the mistakes that they're making and the way they're trying to rapidly shove everything through. and the hysteria and the panic and the big deal that they're making about all of this, it just reiterates they're terrified of Trump. They're terrified that he's going to continue to be a thorn in their side this next 4 years. They're terrified that he knows things and he's going to continue to talk and he's going to continue to build his base. And he might not be in the White House right now, but he might be more powerful than he ever was before. And I think they know that. And there's a lot of things he can do behind the scenes that he couldn't do as the president. But as a private citizen, as an activist, he can do. And he's a dangerous man for them. And I think they'll stop at nothing to do whatever they can to take him out. And there's no reading between the lines on that. I think they would do whatever they could to take him out. I'm serious about that. Look at the hate and the fear that they harbor for President Trump. And that's exactly what we're seeing at this phony, unconstitutional impeachment trial. I don't even want to call it an impeachment trial because it's not. It's unconstitutional. That's why John Roberts would not preside over it. The Constitution clearly states that Justice Roberts needed to be the man to preside over this hearing. And he won't do it because the fact that they're trying to impeach somebody that no longer holds an office is unconstitutional. So it doesn't mean anything. They have no teeth. A lot of bark, no bite. They're just trying to paint a picture for the world, and they're looking at this impeachment as an opportunity to be on stage, front and center, uninterrupted, with every camera on them, to try their last-ditch effort to convince everybody that Donald Trump is a traitor, that he's a terrorist, that he committed these high crimes and misdemeanors and these horrible atrocities against our country and against the American people, and that he himself is responsible for the insurrection that happened at the Capitol. Now, again, they have no evidence. They don't care that they don't have any evidence. Everything that they've said so far has been debunked over and over again. And I'm not going to lie, the first couple days, Donald Trump's lawyers did not impress me. The first day, I was like, holy smokes, where did he find these guys? I thought they did an awful job. I thought they were almost helping the prosecution. But as it went on, I think maybe they listened to some social media. They took some advice from some of the other anchors that are on different networks that are more conservative, possibly. And they started presenting the counterarguments and presenting the evidence that proves their point, that goes against what the Democrats are saying and what the prosecution is saying. And they did a much better job. And if you didn't watch the hearing today, you really missed out on the opportunity to hear and see the truth firsthand for yourself and to see the true hypocrisy of the Democrat Party and what these prosecutors have been saying and presenting all week. Donald Trump's team today showed how they turned his words around, how they manipulated the video footage, and, you know, everything they did, it would not even be submissible if it was a regular court. And in fact, the judge probably would have consequences for the prosecutors doing what they did. Maybe hold them in contempt or even worse, because what they did is actually criminal. It would have been treated like it was a criminal act in a regular court. And today, Friday, Donald Trump's prosecutors, they really showed that. They painted that picture and just did a much better job than they did earlier in the week. And I was proud to see that. I was happy to see that. And in my opinion, it was cut and dry on the article of impeachment that they presented against Donald Trump. There is no evidence to prove that. There is nothing he did that would make him responsible for inciting insurrection. Nothing. They can't prove it. It's dead on arrival. It's a done deal. Now take it to the next level of defense would be, he has a First Amendment right, like we all do, to say anything he wants to say. And so even the stuff that they were using and manipulating to try to make him sound bad, he still didn't break any laws. And then the third level is the entire trial, because he's a private citizen, is a farce. It means nothing. You can't impeach a private citizen. The fact that the Chief Justice did not attend because of that makes it illegitimate. Okay, so this was a circus. It was a waste of time. It was a waste, a gross waste of taxpayer money. And it's abuse what they're doing to our president, Donald Trump. It's absolute abuse, and it's disgusting, and it exposed the true colors of the Democrat Party. It exposed how terrified they are of this man and how much they hate this man. And let me tell you something, friends. It's not Donald Trump they hate. When they do this to him, they're doing it to you, and they're doing it to me. They hate us. They hate conservatives. They hate Christians. They hate white males. They hate constitutionalists. They hate people that believe in this republic, believe in liberty and freedom and justice and truth. That's what they hate. They want to bring the republic down, and their attacks are not against Donald Trump. Their attacks are against you and I, and we, the people, should take that personally. We can't forget who they are. We can't forget what they've done. They are not representing us. They are not upholding our laws. They are not following our Constitution. And our entire government, and you know what? Not just the Democrats, Republicans too, the swamp creatures that are the Republicans that are over there, they are just as guilty. In fact, this week we had a couple that were in full exposure. Mitt Romney, Susan Collins. Now, we've known for a long time that these two are snakes. We know that they hate Donald Trump. Collins, the only reason Collins is there, the only reason she won her election by a narrow margin, is because Donald Trump saved her ass. That's it. That's the only reason she's there. But her and Romney have wasted no time attacking Donald Trump and trying to make him look bad and trying to make it so he would have this impeachment trial moved forward. They could have thrown it out. But Collins and Romney were a couple of the Republicans that actually voted to go ahead and move forward with this sham, this attack on our Constitution, the attack on the American people, not just Donald Trump. And you know what? I looked at that and said, okay, they want to see the evidence. They want to hear the evidence. I knew they were snakes. I knew they hated Donald Trump. But I figured, you know what? It's their right to be able to listen to the evidence. If they feel like the prosecution potentially has more evidence to present, that's their right to hear it. So on the third day, after the closing arguments, when they allowed the senators to send in questions and ask questions specifically to the defense team or the prosecution, Mitt Romney and Susan Collins sent in a question to the prosecution in an attempt to aid the prosecution and make Donald Trump look bad, look guilty. It was an attempt to make it so the prosecution could more easily try to prove their case. And this question was presented by two Republicans, Mitt Romney and Susan Collins. I hope you guys are paying attention. Utah, Alaska, I would love to see the Republican leadership in those states, I would love to see the Republican leadership in those states censor these two senators. And let's ask for a recall. Let's start this process, because waiting for another election to come around to remove these two traitors from office is too far of a wait. Like I said, it shouldn't really surprise any of us. You know, after they voted to go ahead and move forward with this impeachment and sided with the Democrats, I was pissed. That's one level. But when they attempted to aid the Democrats and aid the prosecution and attempted to hurt Donald Trump, to me, that took it to a whole entire another level. And I don't think we should put up with that. They do not represent the people. They do not represent the party. And they should be removed from their positions. Folks, we're just getting started here. We have so much to talk about. Stick with me. Don't turn that dial. We'll be right back here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Nikki Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your fearless leader, Nikki Garris. Remember, you can always check me out on Facebook, Patriot Uprising Radio. I always put our podcast up there. So if you missed a show or you want to go back and check out some shows that we've done in the past, you can go to that Facebook page and you can scroll through there and take a gander and listen to all our past shows. We were just talking about the scandal in D.C. that is the farce, the fake, the unconstitutional impeachment of Donald Trump. You can't impeach a private citizen. You can't impeach somebody if the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court refuses to preside over the hearing. And there's no evidence. And I think today there was some justice that happened. But the fact that the country had to go through that, especially when the Biden administration and the Democrats have been calling for unity and saying that that's what they're all about, yet they've done nothing. There has been no olive branch. They have nothing but spewed hatred, and everything they've done since day one of their administration and moving forward with this farce impeachment has been to divide. They have no idea what's brewing. They have no idea how angry the American people are. And that anger is growing and spreading. And there's even Democrats coming on board that say, I don't recognize my party anymore. I don't believe in this. I don't buy this. You guys are hurting this country. And they're running from the party. Those people are out there. What the Schumers and the Pelosi's and the Bidens of the world are doing right now, what they're doing to this country, people are finally waking up, they're taking note, and there will be hell to pay. And we're going to fight like hell, okay? To utter the words, the precious words of Donald Trump, we are going to fight like hell. And there's nothing wrong with saying that. We should be willing to fight like hell for this republic. What's going on in this country should anger all of us, my friends. And we can't just sit by and watch it happen anymore. We can't. The corruption is so thick, and the pace that they are doing things to move us towards communism is happening so quickly now. And we're being attacked from every single side. And every state is dealing with their own issues. Here on the West Coast, Washington, Oregon, California. Holy smokes. Gosh, I love my state. Oregon's a beautiful state. There's so many neat things about being here over in the Willamette Valley. It's a state that offers a little bit of everything. Or it did. But I am thinking long and hard every single day about what can I do to get out of this place? Where can I go? Because Oregon's not going to get any better. The Fuhrer, Governor Brown, she's going to continue to run us into the ground. This Democrat supermajority that we have here in Oregon, the legislators, everything they do, almost every single piece of legislation they work on, I am dumbfounded. I look at it, I read it, and I think to myself, why do they hate us so much? What is it about these legislators that make them hate law-abiding citizens so much? And then I see these crazy bills. And I say, what is it about Oregon that they try so hard to protect pedophiles, to protect criminals, to protect people that have a mental illness and do sick things. They're constantly working on new legislation to protect these people, no matter how bad it hurts innocent citizens, no matter how bad it hurts children. You don't believe me? Let's go through a couple of things that they're working on right now. It's absolutely amazing. And there's starting to be a pattern here. And we're starting to see how things fit together. You guys know that, unfortunately, Oregon voted to pass Measure 110. Now, they didn't do a very good job of explaining what Measure 110 really meant. But basically, it removes all criminal penalties from hard drugs. So your heroin, your cocaine, your methamphetamines, you name it, ecstasy, pretty much anything. It removed the criminal penalties. Now, you're allowed to have so much on your person, okay? Once you go past that, and these amounts that you're allowed to carry on your person are ridiculous, okay? They're not just like a small user amount. It far exceeds what a normal user amount would be, okay? But you're allowed to have it on your person, and the police can't do anything to you anymore for that, okay? If you pass that amount up, you can get in a little bit of trouble. Now, when I say a little bit of trouble, I mean it's about the equivalent of a traffic infraction. In fact, the ticket that you would receive is actually less money than a ticket you might receive for having a burnout headlight on your vehicle. I'm not joking, my friends. So you can carry whatever kind of drugs that you have. You can't be punished for it. Okay? Now, because it's not a criminal offense, because they've took the criminal penalty away, guess what? They're also not allowed to confiscate it. So you might get a ticket for it, but they can't take it from you. You get a pat on your back and get sent on your merry way. Now, they've done other things, too, to hamstring our law enforcement, essentially tie their hands behind their back and make it so they're ineffective to be able to stop this drug trafficking. And this is an epidemic that we have in this country right now. It's terrible over here on the West Coast. And it's growing fast here in Oregon. Cops can't use reasonable suspicion anymore. Okay? So if they think that you're on drugs, if they think there's a good reason that you probably have more drugs on you, other type of illegal paraphernalia on you, things like that, unless they have probable cause, there's nothing else they can do about it. So what's probable cause? They have to see it. Okay, that illegal stuff, that has to be out in the open in plain sight. Now, you can have drugs in your car or a crack pipe or whatever it is out there in plain sight. But as long as it's not more than that limit that they talked about, that's still not probable cause because it's decriminalized now. So you got agencies like, you know, Polk County Sheriff's Office, along with Dallas PD, Monmouth and Independence, and the state police. They had a task force that they've been running for several years called the Point Team. And this Point Team is amazingly successful in stopping drug trafficking. And they would go on after the big dogs and they were successful and they were cleaning up our communities and they were keeping drugs out of the hands of kids. Well, they've been effectively shut down because of Measure 110, all the tools of their trade to be able to successfully do their job have been taken away. They can't do what they did anymore because of Measure 110. That's just the tip of the iceberg. We're on a hard break right now. We'll be right back and I'll be filling in more about this good news from the state of Oregon when we return. Stick with me, friends.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Mickey Garris.
Hello, my friends, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your host, Mickey Garris, and we were just talking about some legislation that's happening here in Oregon, and Measure 110 that we already passed as voters. in disbelief we passed it as voters, and how detrimental some of these things are going to be to the state. And I was just starting to put together how I'm seeing a pattern, and I think it's intentional, and I just wanted to share it with you guys so you could be aware and ready for what's on the horizon. So I was talking about Measure 110. That's the measure that basically legalized all the hard drugs. Meth, heroin, cocaine, you name it. You can have it. You can do it. And there's really no consequences anymore. Okay? A lot of the other tools that law enforcement used to use to be able to stop these criminals and go after the big guys that are causing the big problem, the distributors and the manufacturers, they've been stripped away from the law enforcement. They cannot use it anymore. Now, the reason Measure 110 was sold is because they said, we can't be sending people that have a drug problem to prison. It's not fair. We need to get them help. So we're going to decriminalize these drugs, and then we're going to provide these opportunities for them to get into treatment. And we're going to build treatment centers. And where are we going to get the money to do this? Oh, the money that we promised to give to law enforcement and to the public schools from the marijuana tax, we're going to take some of that money and be able to put together these treatment centers for these drug people. So not only, you know, you guys were sold on legalizing marijuana, and we were promised that the money from the marijuana sales was going to go to directly to our communities and help our communities and give our law enforcement the resources and the funding that they need and give our public schools the funding that they need. And so they take this money out in quarters. So right now in the state of Oregon, on average, the school system had about $40 million from tax revenue from marijuana sales that they would split amongst all the public schools in Oregon, $40 million per quarter. Okay. Since Measure 111, they've been taking a chunk of that money away from the schools, and it's supposed to be used for the treatments of these people with drug problems and to build these treatment centers. Okay. So instead of the school district getting $40 million to divide amongst all the schools in Oregon, now the public schools get about $11 million to divide amongst all the public schools in Oregon. Imagine what that does to your school district and the funding that they need to survive. The funding that they need to give our kids a better education and to give them the facilities that they need to have this education. That's been taken away. Now you could argue, well, it's still going to be used for a good cause. They're going to help these people get off drugs. The problem is there's no plan in place for that. That money right now, it's just essentially disappearing. Who knows what the Fuhrer is doing with it? But I can tell you this, it's not being used for drug treatment. It's not being used to build treatment facilities. The counties aren't getting it to help these people that have drug problems. Measure 110 stripped money from the law enforcement, stripped money from the public schools. It legalized hard drugs. It made it so there's no consequences for people that are using hard drugs or distributing hard drugs. It made it so our law enforcement can't do the job that they desperately need to do. And what we were promised, we were sold a bill of goods because they are not opening treatment facilities. It's a joke, my friends, and it's going to be detrimental to our communities. So that's the first start of our problem, and that came into law, that came into effect February 1st. That is real. That is existing right now as we speak. Now, in our legislator's office right now, they're in session, as you guys know, and there's several more bills that they've introduced this session. And it's mind-blowing, but when you start tying them all together, you got to question, is there an agenda? And so let's look at SB 238. SB 238 basically says that school districts can't disqualify people if they have certain criminal records. Can you believe that? So basically it's saying school districts have to hire people that maybe are felons. They have to hire people that have been involved in sex trafficking or prostitution, or distribution of drugs, manufacturing of drugs. It's unbelievable. Why on earth would you open the doors to the schools to those kind of people with that kind of problem? Now, you could say, oh, they did their time, they're out. Okay, I'm all about reform. I'm all about trying to help people do better in life. And if you've gone to prison and if you've done your time and served your sentence, that's good. But it doesn't mean that you can just come out and we can trust you with our kids. It should not be our kids' responsibility to help you be a better person in life. And we should not dangle that carrot in front of you. It blows my mind, again, that our legislators seem to care more about criminals and people that have these sick mental illnesses than they do our children, that they would open the doors and expose our children to these types of people. I just can't wrap my brain about it. The type of people that they want to let into our schools and have access to our kids are people that have preyed on children. Does that make sense to you at all? Everybody should be furious about this. The Republicans in Salem, they wrote a strong letter and they're adamantly against this, adamantly against it. And they're doing everything they can to block it. But again, they don't have the power. All they can do is talk till they're blue in the face, but they don't have any authority or any real power. The Democrats have the supermajority and they want to push it too. So this is House Bill 2942. And basically it lets anybody that had any type of charges, unlawful manufacturing within 1,000 feet of a school of hydrocodone, methadone, oxycodone, heroin, methylexidone, methamphetamine, cocaine, and other controlled substances. Unlawful delivery within 1,000 feet of those drugs that I just listed, and so on and so on. It also says unlawful delivery of hydrocodone, methadone, oxycodone, cocaine, prostitution, and child sex trafficking. Hard no for me, my friends. At the same time, they're putting out a bill that basically makes it so schools cannot have the relationship with law enforcement and they can't have any more resource officers in the schools. And so they're essentially banning law enforcement from the school district. And so here we've just decriminalized hard drugs. There's no consequences. Now they're trying to pass legislation that forces school districts to allow criminals, felons, access to the schools, access to these kids that they've been preying on. Now they're working on a bill that says law enforcement cannot go into the schools and work for the schools as resource officers anymore. So they're removing the police, they're removing the protection from our kids. What happened to the people that were so concerned about all the school shootings? You know, a couple years ago, that was all the talk. And we need to get law enforcement. We need to have better defense for our schools, for our children, so we can protect kids from these people that come in and shoot them up. But now Oregon wants to ban law enforcement. Senate Bill 238, ban law enforcement essentially from the schools. Don't let resource officers work in the schools anymore. I'm not joking. Okay? Then you have legislation that they're working on, and it has to do with our concealed carry license. And so basically, Senate Bill 554 is going to make it so even if you have a concealed carry license, you can't carry it around public schools. You can't carry it in public buildings, airports. Now, many of you guys might not realize this, but there are several teachers that are actually our children's first line of defense. And the way Oregon law is right now, if you have a concealed handgun license, you are allowed to carry a firearm in a public school. And a lot of the school districts have allowed their teachers to carry firearms if they possess a concealed handgun license. Most kids never know this. Most parents never know this. But inside our public schools, there are several teachers that are carrying firearms in case something bad happens. They could potentially stop the threat. Now, this law here that they're working on, it's going to make it so if you have a concealed handgun license, you still cannot go into public buildings or public schools, which would make it so those teachers that are working in there that might be caring to protect your children would not be able to carry anymore while they're there on their job. So we've legalized hard drugs. We've made it so criminals can have access to the public schools, gain access to your children. We're working on making it so cops essentially cannot step foot into the public schools. They can't partner with the schools anymore. So we're removing the police. We're allowing the criminals to gain access. We've legalized drugs. And now we're passing laws that make it so law-abiding citizens can't exercise the Second Amendment, their constitutional guaranteed right, shall not be infringed. And they're trying to make it so we can't carry guns where we might need to be able to carry a gun. They're trying to make it so teachers can no longer carry guns in the schools. Do you see the pattern, my friends? Do you see what Oregon's doing? It seems like everything that they do hurts innocent people and it protects criminals. This is the Democrat Party. Don't turn that dial. We'll be right back. Stick with me, friends.
Back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Mickey Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your host, Mickey Garris. Thanks for joining me here today, you guys, and thanks for listening to my ranting a little bit. I hope you guys are as concerned as I am. And I know we're wrapping up on this last segment. I just kind of wanted to recap what I've shared. And I want you guys to do your own research out there. I've given you the information, but go out. Go to the OLIS website and look up these House bills and these Senate bills for yourself. Look up these ballot measures and see what they're doing and see if you can answer the question that I obviously can't. Why is it that the Oregon legislators and the Fuhrer Brown seem to hate law-abiding citizens so much and seem to go out of their way to try to hurt law-abiding citizens through legislation that is detrimental to our communities? Why is it that they seem to go out of their way to protect criminals, to protect people that have a mental illness that are hurting our children? Why is it that they go out of the way to strip our law enforcement of the tools and the resources that they need to be able to do their job, to protect people and to protect themselves and to keep our communities safe? Why is it that they're doing everything possible to hurt the school system, strip the funding from the school system, and make it so we can't educate our children competitively and give them the resources and the tools that they need to get a proper education? Why is it everything that the Democrat Party, because that's who we're talking about, we can call it legislators, but it's the Democrat Party. They control Oregon. Oregon is controlled 100% by the Democrats. Why is it the Democrat Party in Oregon, why is it that they hate us so bad that everything they do seems to be to hurt us? And you can back that up. Take a look at these legislations. Senate Bill 238 bans law enforcement from schools, bans law enforcement from public schools, takes away school resource officers. That's ridiculous. Measure 110, decriminalized hard drugs, meth, heroin, everything else under the sun, 100% legal. Not necessarily legal, but decriminalized. No consequences. Not only did it do that, but it shut down the point teams that have done such a good job of keeping drugs off our streets and shutting down these manufacturers. It made it so they couldn't work anymore. Not only did it do that, but it stripped money away from the police departments. It also stripped money, the marijuana taxes, away from our public schools. A lot of money. What that money is being used for is anybody's guess, because it's not being used for the treatment of people that have this drug problem. House Bill 2942 opens the doors to the public schools to criminals, to felons, people that have been convicted of high crimes like, dealing drugs at the schools, manufacturing firearms, sex trafficking of children, prostitution. Okay? It makes it so the school districts have to be open to these people. And these people can go and they can get jobs at the district. They can be working in your children's classroom, working on the school grounds with your children, children that they preyed on. That's why they got in trouble. And now the school districts have to open up their doors and let these criminals back into the schools. Okay? What else? Senate Bill 554 bans firearms from public buildings. That includes schools, my friend. So if you're a teacher and you have a concealed handgun permit, and this passes, Senate Bill 554, you won't be allowed to carry your firearm at school anymore. You are the children's first line of defense, but you won't be able to have the tools with you needed to stop those threats. Okay? If Senate Bill 554 passes, guys, if you have a CHL, it pretty much will make it useless. The way this bill is written and everything that you're going to be banned from, and when they say ban, they'll say something like, within 500 feet, within 1,000 feet. Pretty much wherever you're standing in your town, you could throw a rock and hit one of these facilities that you're banned from. The way they have written this bill is absolutely 100% infringing on your Second Amendment right. It's unconstitutional. I believe this bill will be challenged. I believe it will eventually go to the Supreme Court. Ask me if I have any confidence in our Supreme Courts. I'm losing a lot. I don't have a whole lot of confidence in our Supreme Court. I hope they'll do the right thing. But until this bill gets to the Supreme Court, it's going to be a 2-3 year battle, maybe longer. It's not going to go there fast. It's not going to go there overnight. Yes, it's unconstitutional. It's an infringement on your Second Amendment right. But Oregon is going to pass this. And until it gets resolved, essentially, if you have a CHL license, it's going to be pretty much useless. And, I didn't tell you about this one. This is the big whopper, okay? Morality right out the window in the state of Oregon. What's morality anymore? Hey, we're a state that's controlled by Democrats, so we don't even believe in that word anymore. House Bill 3088 basically legalizes prostitution. Basically legalizes prostitution. Are any of these things bills that you thought you'd be dealing with? I mean, there's not even any common sense to the things they're trying to pass. They can't even make a sound argument. Like I said, if you're honest and if you look at it, the question you ask is, why do they hate us so much? Why do they want to protect criminals so bad? And the only conclusion I can really come up with, friends, is what they're doing is their perfect plan to continue to destroy this republic. They want to take us down in the gutter as far as they can get us. They want to hurt us as bad as they can hurt us, because that's the only way that they can rebuild the system, the society that they want. And we've seen it before. If you read history, we've seen it over and over again. We know what happens when society starts going down this rabbit hole. And we know that it never ends up well. We know what their agenda is. We know what they want to do. We know that they're working hard to do it. And we know that they'll do whatever they can to do it. It shouldn't be a surprise to us. It makes me mad. When I see this stuff, I look at it, I read it, and for a moment I'm surprised. And then I remind myself, wait a second, that's the Democrats. That's just the Democrats. I wish I had the answers for you. I sit there and say, well, what can we do? What do we do? Like I said, I think all the time about how can I get out of Oregon? I don't know if I'll ever leave. I'm tied here in so many different ways, but the grass definitely looks greener on the other side of the fence. And if you live here, I think things are just going to continue to get worse in this state for a while. And if you're a business owner, if you're a small business owner, I think things are going to start to be really rough. Okay, we're going to start seeing pricing on goods go through the roof. Our taxes are going to continue to climb. And I'm worried that, you know, we're not the majority anymore. This state has been taken over with this liberal ideology, and they want conservatives out, and a lot of conservatives have left, and maybe enough conservatives have left that there's not a whole lot that we can do to fight back in this state anymore. I don't know what that means 100%, but you guys need to know what's on the horizon. My daughter's a senior, and we're traveling around now and thinking about colleges for her, and I keep telling her she needs to pick a state that I'd be willing to move to. Because if she goes to college somewhere and we decide to get the heck out of Oregon, it'd be really nice to move to a state that she's in. So, you know, we're looking at some of the states that still believe in freedom, still believe in conservatism, still believe in protecting and upholding our Constitution, defending the Republic, liberty. And, you know, there's getting to be fewer of those states out there, it seems like. I don't know what's going to happen. All I can say, my friends, it's bleak. And in these moments, this is when we need to dig down deep. We need to hold on to our values as strong as we can. We need to be willing to give everything. We need to be willing to fight like hell, as Donald Trump said. And we need to pray. God bless you guys. Stay safe out there. Hopefully the ice storm didn't get you too bad. We'll catch you next time here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
You've been listening to Patriot Uprising Radio right here on KSLM and KSLM.news.